doesn't want to be a part of this. I'm going to have everybody, I'm going to call your name and you're going to say your name, where you're calling in from. And if you're a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 means you're about to pull your hair out. 1 means you're like chilling like a villain. All right. So we're going to start. We're going to go from Kim, Sean, then Anita. So name, city, and 1 through 5. Kim.
I'm Kim. I am in Nashville and I'm a 1.
Sean.
Glen Ellyn, Illinois. 1.
1. Anita.
St. Lazare, which is outside of Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and about between a 2 and a 3 today.
Okay, once again, we're going to go, in a second, we're going to go to Stephen, Mary Jo, and Karen. Name, city, and 1 through 5. 5 means you're pulling your hair out. 1 means you're chilling like a villain. Stephen.
San Diego, and probably a 4.
Ooh, 4. Mary Jo.
I'm from Fargo, and I'm probably like a 1 or a 2.
1 or a 2. Sweet. Karen.
I'm from Rhode Island, and I'm 1.5.
1.5, sweet. And we're going to go from Judy to Peggy to Kimmy. And once again, name, city, and 1 through 5. Judy.
I'm Judy from Ottawa, Canada, and maybe 2.
2. Peggy.
I'm Port Charlotte, Florida, 3.
3, awesome. Kimmy.
I'm from Ashburn, Virginia, and I'm a 1.
And you're a 1, sweet. And then last but not least, we're going to go from Jennifer to Carolyn to Emily. Name, city, and a 1 through 5. 5 means you're pulling your hair out. 1 means you're cool in the gang. Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer from Barstown. And I am, I'd say a 3.5.
3.5, okay. Carolyn, she's muted, so I'm going to let her off the hook. Emily, are you there?
Yep.
Name,
I'm Emily, Torrance, California. I'm a 2 today.
A 2. And then last but not least, Aaron, name, city, and 1 through 5. 5 means you're pulling your hair out. 1 means you're cool in the gang. You broke up on me. Give it to me one more time, Aaron.
It's suburbs of Chicago and 5.
Ooh, she's a 5. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to mute everybody. You're all muted. And Carolyn, you didn't want to go, did you? Just give me a, yeah. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I didn't know the question. 1 is probably where you're from.
No, so name, where you're calling in from, and then 1 through 5, 1 means you're cool in the gang, 5 means you're pulling your hair out and you're going nuts.
Oh, okay. Caroline, San Francisco Bay Area, probably a 2.
A 2, sweet, okay. All right, so what I heard was I think Steven's having a tough one. And I think, what did Jennifer say?
Aaron.
Oh, Aaron. Aaron's having a tough one. So,
and some people said 3.
And some of you guys said 3. Peggy, I think, said a 3. So thank you for that. Yeah. We're going to do 30 seconds or 60 seconds of centering. You're welcome to join us, or you can just keep doing what you're doing. So put your feet on the ground. Back straight, but not too straight. Put your hands on your lap or face up, face down, whatever you feel like. And let's just do some conscious breathing for about 45 seconds on your own. Just notice if your breath is shallow or deep. One more good one. All right. Thank you, everybody.
On that one, I blew out, but most of the time I breathe through my nose and you breathe out through your mouth.
Yeah.
Do you do that in yoga?
I don't know. I do whatever I do without thinking, which I think is probably a good thing.
Do you breathe through your nose, though, when you're doing yoga? You don't remember.
I usually breathe in through my nose, but depending if I'm working really hard, I breathe out through my nose, breathe out through my mouth. If I'm kind of in a calming position, I think I probably breathe out through my nose. Hmm. There's no right way to breathe.
I wasn't saying that.
No,
at all.
I know.
What I was saying is that I've had to, like, I breathe through my nose in yoga all the time. we keep trying, we're like fighting over the screen.
This looks good. This look good?
And I've had to learn how to breathe, because I breathe through my nose in yoga, I've had to learn how to do this, which is not really how you breathe in yoga.
No.
But that's how you keep your lungs nice and clear. Hi, Sky.
Hey, baby.
Hi.
Okay. First of all, welcome to the Zen Talk. My name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 80-something. I'm going to share some good news that I got.
Thank you, Aaron.
From our friend Brandon from Good Newspaper. A local grocer is being lauded on social media after giving away groceries to a man who was stealing from his store. Mike Williamson, owner of the Central Fresh Market in the heart of Waterloo something, wasn't looking for publicity for himself, according to his son Josh. However, his heartfelt gesture on Monday garnered hundreds of likes and shares on social media, thanks to customers who witnessed the act. Just witnessed a man caught stealing at our local grocery store, reads a tweet post Monday evening. Watched the owner confront him and pull fruits and vegetables out of his pack. Then heard the owner say, "We will feed you." 5 minutes later, saw the man walking through the parking lot with a bag full of groceries. There's good people out there, right?
Everywhere. Everywhere. Right around the corner. Right in front of you.
Isn't that what Jesus said? You. Somebody slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek.
Well,
that's a confusing one, though, because it's almost like let yourself be hit.
I think that we experience the world. Now, I know that I'll say this first and then I'll do all the things that people say back to me when I say this. The way that we experience the world is how we look at ourselves and others. Like it starts with the way what's going on up here. And if we believe that people are not good, and if we believe that people are going to take advantage of us, we'll see it. It's just it. But if we believe that people have a very, not only a strong capacity, but they're hardwired for good, then we see everything they're doing through a different lens. Like, he didn't look at him and say, he's a criminal, he's a crook, he needs to be in prison, he's taking from me, he's taking advantage of me. He said, this guy's stealing, he must be hungry. That's a completely different, you know, perspective. And obviously as parents, we do that with our kids. My kids have, you know, there is a lot of anger, there's a lot of, they're reacting in certain ways. They must be in pain versus they're an angry person or they're trying to get back at me. That it's like this subtle shift. So
that's the deal. So as you guys are figuring out who wants to go, who wants to ask a question, who wants to get some support from the community, I do have only one question written down from one of our Team Zen members from Montana. And it's an interesting one.
Okay.
Do you know this one yet? Mm-mm. This will be fun.
I usually don't know till I sit here.
Our 11-year-old son has unfortunately heard us making love.
Oh boy.
And is now convinced that every night we are doing it and it makes him mad, sad, and uncomfortable.
Skylar.
Skylar's
in the kitchen. She's 12, so she's
Sky, like, you want to weigh in on this?
No, thank you.
Okay, just let me know if you want to come in on this question. And it makes...
Do you want to listen to our response to this question? Oh, she's going upstairs with her food.
Oh,
she's had Lord. Enough.
She couldn't take it.
She couldn't take this one. too close to home.
And it makes him mad, sad, and uncomfortable. His words, parenthetically, we really want to honor him and help him be comfortable, but not at the expense of having a healthy love life.
Well, of course not.
Hold on, okay. Sweetie. Our son and I have had several open, honest conversations about this, and I've asked him to tell me more about it. But we seem to be at an impasse, and he's just mad at us every morning, and we are not doing it every day. Any thoughts?
I love this question, and I'm not laughing at the person who wrote it. I'm laughing at life, because life
totally.
Is so funny.
First of all of us parents have at least thought about something close to this question.
It's just such a, like, and... You know, I mean, the reason I said, of course not, of course you're not going to not have a love life with your partner because it makes your child uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, that's just, yeah. You know, there are things that Todd and I are like, hey, you may want to consider.
Certain things are off limits, and that right. is not one of them.
Right. You, and they, and that definitely veers toward, like, it's one thing to put your shoes away and to maybe let go of that. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to let go of your yeah. love life with your partner.
Yeah. I'm not going to have intimacy with my partner because it makes my 11-year-old son right. uncomfortable.
And at the same time,
you, of course, and it sounds like, is, I assume this is a woman.
It's a woman and she's from Montana.
I'm assuming that, or not assuming, from what you're saying, you're doing an amazing job. You're saying, tell me more. You're giving him the opportunity to talk about it and share his feelings. And his feelings aren't wrong. It's not about saying you shouldn't feel this way. It's that his perception of you is shifted a little bit and he struggles with that. And that's what he's upset about. He's not upset. He's like, you're making me think about you guys in a way I don't want to think about you. But what's happening at 11 and 12 and 13 and, you know, onward is those thing, you know, thoughts about sex and issues about their own sexuality are just kind of front and center. So these are things that he's thinking about anyway in his own growth and, you know, maturity and puberty. And then to have had this experience with his parents, he's like, oh my God, like it's just a lot at once.
So real quick, because I'm sure we'll go back and forth on this. This is my very unrefined perspective.
Uh-oh.
There's nothing weirder as an 11-year-old boy than to be thinking about your parents having sex.
Right.
Like it's just plain not something you want to have in your mind, have in your ears and think about. So I guess I just want to have a little bit of, I don't know if empathy is the word, understanding of the discomfort that this really creates. Like I remember when I was in my 20s and I heard my mom and my stepdad having sex, it was awful. It was just awful. And I just want, so when she said, so
it was awful.
It was so weird. It's such a weird thing.
Did you run away?
I'm like, am I hearing what I think I'm hearing? And it turns out I was. And I went downstairs because I didn't want to hear that anymore. And so I just
And I blame you for living at home till you were 27. That's your fault.
I was saving money.
You were saving money. You lived at your mom's house till you were 27
She let me. She let me live rent-free. And we wouldn't have bought that two flat if it wasn't for that sweetie.
Todd would come over to my apartment that I'd had since I was 22 and be like, I got to call my mom.
I don't want her to be worried.
Oh, okay. He's like, I'm going to say I'm staying at Adams.
So I guess I'm challenging. I interpreted tell me more differently.
Okay.
Like when she said, tell me more, I thought she's like, yeah, tell me more about what you were feeling this moment.
I think she's saying, she is. She's like, tell me more about what you're
I feel like without coming up with an answer, this is just me opening my mouth, seeing what comes out. I'd be like, hey man, sometimes mom and dad get naked. And And that's what happens. And, you know, that's just what happens.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that is what Todd would say.
Because I don't want to be
exactly
like,
how he talks.
Me and your mom have sexual intercourse. Like, that's not what you want to hear.
I know.
You're like, yeah, if the door's closed and you open it, you might see mom and dad naked. Our friend Carolyn says, if the door's closed, just know.
Enter at your own risk.
Enter at your own risk. So
I think why I like what Todd's saying, you know, and again, you guys may not want to use his exact words unless that's your personality, but is what he's saying is we can have lightness and humor about this. And even though like the tell me more, we don't have to go super deep. Okay. There's a few things. He's not scarred for life. What he's doing is his brain is changing and he's trying to wrap his head around parents being human, his own sexuality. Like there's just a lot, like there's a lot of things like synapses, you know, firing and connecting right now. So it's not this, unless, I mean, I guess there can be times when it can be traumatizing. I don't want to be too blasé about it, but if it was just a simple, like, you would know, mom, like how much was seen or, you know, how difficult this is for him. But I also think that there is a sense of, you don't have to be so too serious about it, that if maybe you give him an ability to laugh about it or have lightness, maybe he can channel the energy from anger to laughing. If you can. Again, this is rough because I don't know exactly how it unfolded and you don't have to give me those details, but, you know, like what Todd just did is exactly what he would say. And we would be like, sorry, girls.
Yeah. Like I picture like my dad say, well, Todd, that's where you came from. And that's how you
got here. What would your dad say?
I remember when my parents put locks on their doors, I was probably like 6 or 7 years old. And every now and again, the doors were locked. And I remember being like, me and my brother and my sister would be like, oh my God, mom and dad's doors are locked.
Right.
Like, we knew what was
going
on.
But I think she said he walked in. Oh, heard them.
Yeah. It was just earshot.
Oh, it's just earshot. Yeah. So that is just, that's not even a visual.
I'm going to channel my Homer Simpson. That's how mommies and daddies make babies. Probably not a good thing.
We're being too light about it because she's saying that it's a bummer for him.
It is a bummer. And it's a bummer for her. I don't know. I'm getting in my 11-year-old boy mode, and I just want to just...
Well, and I would say, I would join him and say, it does suck.
Yes,
it
that's
totally
what I would
sucks.
Say. That's what
it
I would
sucks
say.
For you, it sucks for me.
Probably sucks more for him than for...
It does, but what I mean is you join him in that. And then you say, but this is, you know, even though this may not be something that your dad and I are doing all the time, this is a part of a healthy relationship, a committed relationship, a marriage, whatever language you want to use to teach him about what the values are in your family. As all things are, it's another teaching opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's another door, you know, that it's a difficult one to open.
So I'm going to get graphic.
Oh.
Do you tell her to have quieter lovemaking sessions?
Well, I mean, there...
It's not graphic, but it's a question.
I mean, it can be taken into consideration. I mean, I think people should do that when they're in a hotel or whatever. It's not just about you. It can be taken into consideration, but I also don't think she needs to feel embarrassed by being a woman in a relationship. Like, there's nothing where she needs to be like, oh, I'm so... There's no shame and no guilt, but there could be consideration. That's a different word than shame and guilt.
Yeah.
So, you know what? And this is like... this. Parenting question stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. Even on Little House on the Prairie, this was probably an issue.
Yeah.
Especially for Ma and Pa, because there was not a lot of separation in that house.
Yeah, not a lot of bedroom doors.
Do you remember in Dances with Wolves?
Yes.
How that the couple, like, they live in
the teepee.
In the teepee with their family members.
Yeah.
And everyone would just kind of have to deal.
It's funny, yeah. Like, doors are an impediment to a healthy understanding of sex, because if we all lived in teepees, the kids would probably say, oh, there go mom and dad again, because they were there.
Right.
Or it'd be like, you know what, kids, go on down to the river. Me and mom are going to hang back here for a bit.
Can you get an extra bucket of water this time? Bring back three. You may have to go back and forth a few times. So I guess my point is the reason we can be light about it is this is not a 2020 thing. This is not a pandemic thing. This is just life.
Yeah.
And we can have some, I think maybe what I hope Todd and I are offering you is a sense of lightness so you don't feel bad or ashamed or that you feel like you've harmed your child. Because really, it's just him having a new understanding. Well, I feel like I'm repeating the same thing.
And a quick jump to like just talking to your kids about sex and sexuality. And this comes from Louis C.K., who I know has an interesting reputation right now. But one thing he said in one of his stand-ups when he was talking...
A bad reputation, just interesting. But go ahead.
Right. And he said he was talking to his daughters about sex, and he's like... Just so you know, it's a really big deal to be naked with another person.
It is.
And I've off, like, that's really relaxing language, but you're still getting your message across. Like, sex is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And you don't say, like, sex is a big deal, because I think that would land on deaf ears to a young person. Be like, you know, it's a big deal to be naked under the covers with somebody. So just be very mindful about who you happen to share that time with.
And you know what I'm thinking as Todd says that is it's an opportunity for you to have some sense of groundedness about it. Like, I know it upsets you or it makes you uncomfortable. Like, try and find the word that he's expressing and say, but you know, your dad and I are so blessed and so grateful that we have the connection that we do. You see how we talk and laugh and make dinner and go to movies. And that's a part of our relationship too. And we hope this for you. And he'll go, blah, 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 you know, in the future when you are, you know, it's an opportunity to demonstrate how that's a piece of a puzzle in partnership, that it is, and he will eventually, 12, 13, 14, 15, whenever, will see it as something that he's like, my parents had a good relationship.
Right. They'll look back on it.
Yeah.
But right now, as an 11-year-old?
He won't understand it right now.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of ride the wave of discomfort. And also, instead of like, tell me more about how you feel, you can be like, yeah, I know.
So I'm not going to ask anybody to talk, but I'm just curious, is how many of you have gotten busted by your kids when you are in an intimate moment with your partner? Raise your hand. Come on. There's one, two. Only two. Wow, we're pretty good.
And again, maybe they have, but they don't feel like sharing with the community. Like,
hey, we're a tight-knit community. All right.
Another question.
So this is from Stephen, and he wanted me to read it.
All right.
My struggle is based around my daughter and schoolwork. She was behind prior to the stay-at-home era and has only been less motivated since then. I would like to increase her intrinsic motivations. Join the club. Mm-hmm.
But at this point, nothing seems to be working, including both positive and negative extrinsic motivators. We had a similar experience last week.
Yeah, it's interesting. How do you get your kids to be intrinsically motivated? I think if there was a formula for that, I think we'd all be doing it. It's an art and not a science. I'm starting to think of John Duffy. We shared a piece of his podcast. I think it was about e-learning. On yesterday's podcast. So Stephen, I'd invite you to listen to that. And maybe you already did, but this may be the worst advice ever or the least helpful, but I think it's just loosen the grip a little bit. And maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you're like, dude, I've loosened it. Like it's as loose as it can get and we need to bring it back. And maybe that's the case, but you know,
well, and I think it, the focus that we could, I just read a really great article in the New York, I think it was in the New York Times, about how what this time is for all of us is a social emotional learning time, in with a little bit of reading thrown in, that really, even though we want our kids to keep up with schoolwork the way, and I know you said she was kind of falling behind before, so this isn't brand new, but we want them to keep up and it makes us feel less stressed because we have to pay attention to when she's not doing her schoolwork, what's that making us feel? And so sometimes we're like, just do your work so I don't have to worry about it. But that right now, even bringing that up to her, you know, saying, does it feel harder to do schoolwork right now? And how much do you think you can do, you know, based on how you're feeling? Or could you get half of it done? Or do you want to read a book together? And then we'll talk about it. Like, it's funny. We had, tomorrow we're posting a pop culturing where we talked about Little Fires Everywhere. And I talk about how, because Skylar did the podcast with us, and she watches shows with us, and we often have discussions about them, and it can be just as informative and rich as a literature discussion. You know, you can talk about theme, you can talk about, and Todd kind of put her on the spot in the podcast about theme, and she was like, I don't know. But when we have not so pressing moments of talking about shows or books she's reading, that's learning. And I think that it depends on your school, Stephen. Like if you're feeling pressure from the school or that they're calling you and emailing you and saying, Dad, get on this, maybe have an email conversation with them too. Say, you know, my daughter right now, we're focusing a lot on just her social and emotional wellness. And so we've made an agreement. She's going to do, you know, a little less or turn in things a little late. Like, it's okay for you to kind of stretch things or change things, even if it's just for this week. Even if you tell her, why don't we just not have so much pressure this week and see how that goes.
I think Stephen.
Good. Stephen, come back.
I mean, we've been doing that as much as we can. The biggest thing I'm struggling with is that she's at the point where, I mean, she might fail. She's in ninth grade. It's like she was already on that track before this. And so, you know, here in California, basically what they've gone to, we just found this out this week, is any work they do now is not going to be graded, but as long as they're doing some work, they will pass. But prior to, I think April 1st is the date, their grades are what they were. And so they can still go back and turn stuff in from before, so they can still get points, but she's at the point where even doing that is not going to get her to a point where she can and then pass. So it's like we're in discussion with her teachers and stuff, and it's still, this is just came out in the last couple of days. So, but it's just been trying to, there's like, I want to put a little fear into her where, you know, you will have to redo ninth grade or spend your summer taking summer courses, which I know she doesn't want to do. But it just, it like nothing seems to be getting through to her. I don't know. So, and we have, you know, we've tried to back off and trying to, you know, just, I understand, you know what I mean? We've talked a lot about it. She's talked very openly about the struggles and the anxiety she's feeling, how much she misses her friends and stuff. So, you know, it's just, it's, I'm fully understanding. I just have that underlying concern about failing ninth grade. So
for sure.
Can I ask a quick question before you launch into something? Stephen, when you said, I want to put some fear in her, is it true that she could have to repeat ninth grade?
I don't know what the outcome is, but she's, I mean, something either, like I said, we don't know exactly what it is, but she will either have to take summer school and take basically all of her classes. She's basically failing all of her classes right now. And so I don't know what the actual, but that's what I see happening. Like, that's I don't know what else could happen. So that's what I'm basing on.
Yeah. And I think I just want to like normalize your fear. Like that's scary. Like, cause you know, ninth grade is a big one because it sets a precedent for the whole high school experience. And, you know, I guess part of me is like, you know, what do you really have control over? Do you have control over your daughter and can you force her to study? I think the answer is probably not. Do you have some influence? Probably a little bit. So I guess my invitation is, can you, from the most loving place that you're able, just influence her saying, okay, you're not doing this work. Just so you know, the odds are you might have to go back to summer school. And then,
and that's not really fear. That's just
truth. That's reality. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not fear. That's the truth as you understand it today. Mm-hmm. But try to fall back on the slide. Like, she needs a teammate. I know fear is so seductive, and I sometimes fall below the line, and I want to like be angry or express fear and all that. But try your best to collaborate with her. And I know you're like, I'm guessing the story I'm making up, you're like, dude, I've done that. Mm-hmm. I've tried to be your teammate. Mm-hmm. That's not working. So let me try. I just know that, like, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but sometimes parents use shame and guilt and fear to try to motivate. And what's weird is your fear might get her to jump through these hoops. But what Kathy and I believe in is that there's usually a long-term cost to that. And the cost could be like, you know, she'll struggle 2 years from now or 10 years from now.
But the lesson might not be learned.
Yeah, the lesson may not be learned. So,
well, and you know, I think the joining with her is not about a manipulation where you're like, okay, I'm going to join her and then she'll get her work done. Can you really join with her where there's a possibility she might have to go to summer school? And I think that offering that to her, like, you don't have the ability as her dad to solve this for her. Like, you can say, I'm in touch with the teacher, and I like the word collaborate, and I'm talking with the teacher and I want to collaborate with you, you know, when you're talking to your daughter, but say, there's really only so much I can do. And if this doesn't get done, then you'll have to do summer school. And if you're cool with that, then, you know, like one of my good friends, her son last year just decided not to turn a bunch of things in, and she did all the good things and all the right things. And he had to go to summer school, and she just kind of was like, okay, like, you know, and he actually, it was interesting because he did really well in summer school. And she was like, oh boy, I hope this isn't a pattern. You know, she's kind of laughing about it. But I guess my point is that the worst thing, or could that be something that might be the path for her? And I know this doesn't land as like good news necessarily, but I guess there is no answer because there's no way to force her. And the, you know, what we always go back to is, how can you stay connected to her and collaborate with her and support her? And that's just by laying out the options. The options are either turn all this stuff in and just squeak by like the rest of everybody else in e-learning. That would be the easiest. The second would be, you'll have to go to summer school, which seems like you're going to have to repeat a bunch of stuff with, which will probably be annoying. And the third option is, you may have to do this year all over. And that just feels really heavy. So giving, like, laying it out, not as fear, because even that energy of, listen, you might have to repeat, she won't hear you because she'll go into defensiveness. But if you lay it out, even write it out, like, say, I've been talking to your teacher and these are the options. So you'll have to choose one, and then kind of join her in that, you know, navigate that path. And again, there's other things along the way, conversations, ways to help her. This isn't the only thing, but I think there's a truth in pointing out, this is all we can do. So
Stephen, this is what I'm doing. I just texted you, because Stephen's in the men's group and I have his phone number. I just texted you that podcast that we played a little bit of, Duffy's podcast. It talks about a lot of things, and a very little bit of it is about e-learning and expectations of kids. But just, John Duffy and Kathy and I share a lot of the same viewpoints, And he just does a wonderful job of getting us parents to just kind of reframe things a little bit in this time. So the invitation for you, Stephen, is to just check that out if you are open to it. And then there's a bunch of ideas that have were on the chat, and I'm going to go ahead and read them because I think they're valuable. Kimmy says, I'm a teacher, and we had a meeting about this today. We have lots of parents asking the same thing about motivation. You're not alone.
Good.
And then Kim Gardner says, my straight-A student can't do anything online due to anxiety. She's actually talking with Duffy, which is helping. I wonder how much might be anxiety.
For your daughter, yeah.
Lisa says, I have a freshman at home who is also already not liking school and not doing well. She loves the homeschooling, but I see the shortcuts and avoidance still really a challenge. Executive functioning challenges are now magnified. You are not alone for sure. Kimmy says, does she have a teacher that she connects with? We have set up mentors. We have teachers that are meeting with our unmotivated kids to relieve the pressure so you can be a parent and not parent and teacher. And then lastly, Kim says, my daughter's in the 10th grade and we have allowed a friend to quarantine with us so they can do work together. It is working, but it's still slow.
Wow, those are great, you guys.
So yeah, and what I get from all that is, Stephen, you are not alone, dude. Mm. And, you know, just bless you. And thank you for asking the question.
Because it opened it up for everybody
else. That a lot of us are asking. So thank you for that. At this point, I don't have any other questions, but I know that there's some people out there that want to chat with us or ask questions or get some support. So go ahead and put in the chat box, or you can just go ahead and raise your hand.
Hi, JC.
And in the meantime, Kath and I'll just do this.
More I could talk about something.
Wouldn't you rather?
What are you doing?
Uh-oh. Ooh. This is real-time parenting, sweetie. How
we're
are you
doing real-time
this?
Parenting.
So JC just asked us if you can go.
Wait. Let me. Oh, wait.
Sorry.
Hold on.
Oh, we'll be right back. Hold on. Okay. So now I'm on.
Oh, so JC is going to a place where she can sit in a circle with some people, and what they do is they pull their car up and then they sit on their trunk, and then where she's got a minivan. So she, do you sit in the back? And they've done that a few times here, but now she's going to a place where I don't know. So I just wanted to meet, but it's with not a lot of people, right? Okay, she's like smiling at me because we go through this conversation every single time. So what's interesting is this is what I'll share, and it's kind of connected to school, and it's kind of connected to, you know, what's going on with the pandemic. Is not only as parents are we being asked to monitor the regular things in the home and their education, but we have to balance the social emotional, their needs, their mental health needs with the isolation. We have been, 98% isolated, which we have felt good about, especially here in Illinois, being outside of Chicago. But there has been, my daughter's 17 years old. She hasn't been able to see anybody. Have a good time, Bird. So there is, Todd and I have to have these long talks all the time about what is, we gotta follow through with what the law says. Like, for example, my mom's in a care facility, and we have to see her to keep her mental wellness. And so it's this constant like back and forth of what's right for us personally, what's in the best interest of everybody else. And, it's a lot of conversation. It is not cut and dry. I think in the first 2 weeks, it was very cut and dry to me. You're not going in. I actually, as I said, removed my family from this town. You're not going anywhere. And then now we're at week 7. And
yeah, the one thing that Duffy said on that podcast was, he's like, and we shared that, I think I shared this on the podcast yesterday. His advice was a lot different a month ago than it's today. Like, every week that goes by, it becomes more complicated, more challenging, more desperate. Like, 7 weeks without your friends, that's not an easy thing to do. And so, yeah, it's tricky. What my biggest concern with like with JC or with any of my kids asking for something is I judge that there is a slippery slope here. Mm. So we'll say yes to one thing. And, kids are experts. Their brain is designed to get what they want. And can they say, well, you let me do this day? This is just a teeny bit more asking a little bit more of us to do it like a week later. And then all of a sudden we lose ourselves. Like, well, how did we get here? So that's what I'm cognizant of in regards to COVID.
And the way that I wouldn't say I, because I'm not imposing, it's kind of something JC and I come up with, and you guys may have heard that in real time, is that I just need to know where you're going to be, that the expectations are clear, and that there's a time limit, meaning that I know when you're going to be home, and that, you know, there, and I trust her.
And can you imagine being a 17-year-old, like the amount of restrictions that COVID, that our governor and that Kathy and Todd have put on our 17-year-old girl, like that's miserable.
And I'm sure a lot of you can relate, but she was supposed to go on a trip this summer for school. It was a leadership program, and she was going to go to Switzerland, and she was going to go to, what was the other place? Spain. And it was something she'd been looking forward to forever. She raised $5,000. My daughter, all she's wanted to do her whole life is travel. And last week it got canceled. No surprise. But she also was like, she can't work anymore with her friends. I think that this conversation, we're kind of skewing it towards teens, but we are struggling as parents and as teachers and as healthcare workers and as adults. But what our kids are going through, if it be they're 2 or 3 years old and they can't play with the person next door, or if it's that, you know, they can't go to their daycare or their preschool, or if it's our 17-year-olds who like can't have a normal life, it's just difficult. And that's all I have. Like, I don't have any like absolutes. Todd, you read something today out of the Anne Frank book that I thought was really powerful. Todd just read Anne Frank, The Diary of Anne Frank, because he's never read it before. And again, apples and oranges, as he said this morning, this is not the same as the experience Anne Frank had. But in relating to her words, there was something she said, you know, her most famous quote about, well, he'll read it to you once he finds it.
Which, the self-awareness one or the other one?
No, the one about that it's difficult for kids.
So this is at the very end of The Diary of Anne Frank. So if you're wondering whether it's harder for the adults here than for the children, the answer is no, it's certainly not. Older people have an opinion about everything and are sure of themselves and their actions. It's twice as hard for us young people to hold on to our opinions at a time when ideas are being shattered and destroyed, when the worst side of human nature predominates, when everyone has come to doubt truth, justice, and God. Anyone who claims that the older folks have a more difficult time in the annex doesn't realize that the problems have a far greater impact on us. We're much too young to deal with these problems, but they keep thrusting themselves on us until finally we're forced to think up a solution, though most of the time our solutions crumble when faced with the facts. It's difficult in times like these. Ideas, dreams, and cherished hopes rise within us only to be crushed by grim reality. It's a wonder I haven't abandoned all my ideas. They seem so absurd and impractical, yet I cling to them because I still believe, in spite of everything, that people are truly good at heart.
That's her most famous quote, that last line.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And once, like Kathy said, I'm not trying to compare COVID to what Anne Frank was going through regarding World War II, but it is eerie how those words relate to what we're going through right now. And it reminds me of Breakfast Club, like, you know, at the risk of angering anybody who's 20 years or older, like, we don't understand what it's like to be a kid. Mm-mm. We have since forgotten, you know, the opening line of the opening scene in Breakfast Club is that David Bowie quote. Mm-hmm. And it's something like, when these kids that you spit on are trying to change the world,
they're immune to your consultation. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Yeah.
They know they're struggling and they don't have, as we were just talking about executive functioning, executive functioning to manage, to rationalize, to realize things will get better. Emily was just saying.
She has a question.
Oh, she does. Okay. Yeah. Let's just go
I
to
think
her.
So.
Oh.
Kristen says, sounds like she hit a wall. Emily says, my 6-year-old has gone from crying about not being able to play with her friends to now not even interested in having a virtual play date. I keep telling myself that it'll be fine, but there are days that I wonder. I noticed that she punched her stuffed animal one night when she was angry. Never seen that before. And then Kristen says, sounds like she hit a wall. And then Lisa says, Emily, that's where I was going to go with the question. The issue of all this screen time, but it being the connection point for these kids, I have concerns that mine, 15 and 17 years old, are not talking enough to others. Faces, voices, body language. I wish they would call and talk. It freaks me out and I worry about depression.
Yeah, understandable. Both of those, like Emily, you know, your daughter, you know, going from, and that's what we do when we grieve, right? You know, like we have to see the grieving process in our kids, is that initially she was sad. And then now there might be a sense of denial, or there might be anger, or there might be a place where she's like, well,
what's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah.
You know, like a kind of a type of acceptance. I'm not saying it's a full bodied acceptance, but like almost a repression of, I don't even want to deal with the disappointment. And I think that's kind of, you know, Todd and I discussed on the podcast today how this whole thing is an experiment, in that not an experiment being done to us, but an experiment or an experience that we're all in together, that what would have applied in February doesn't make sense right now. What we would have said 2 or 3 weeks ago may not apply right now. What we thought was going to happen in June may be completely different than what we think right now. Is that I don't have an answer. I mean, I have reways I can reframe both of these questions, meaning to worry about your kids having depression before they have depression is not worth your energy. Like, I can say that, meaning that if you are worried about depression, then you're going to treat them in a place of fear, coming from fear.
Yes.
So I'm not saying you're causing their depression. I'm just saying that
it's going to be hard to help them.
It will be, because they're going to feel your like discomfort, and you just have to continually meet them where you are. So this is like the Olympics, and it's not a competition, so it's not the Olympics, but it's like the highest level of training for considering how we're feeling and how that plays into how our kids are feeling and how we interact with them. I don't mean that everything we're feeling, our kids are feeling. What I'm saying is, when we watch them, are our glasses clean? Mm-hmm. You know, like, are our glasses dirty, where all we're seeing is they could be depressed, or this happened to me, or it's not going to go well, because then that's how we'll see their experience. If we can clean our glasses and say, yeah, this isn't ideal. Like, it isn't. Our kids on screens all day is not ideal, but what can I do right now in this moment? If it's that, like Todd and I have, like I was talking about, we've had to expand this week or last week on Wednesday. I went and got donuts and took all three of my girls and drove to my best friend's house in Chicago. And we, you know, obviously put it at their doorstep, rang their doorbell, and they sat on their porch, and we stood at the car and we had a talk. And all three of my girls on the way home were like, that felt so good. And that was just a out of the box moment of like, let's do something. And so we decided every week we're going to get donuts for somebody. You know, would we be doing that 2 months ago? No. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in this experience of, if we notice that our kids are not getting out and seeing somebody, let's go for a drive.
Try something new. And it's hard to be curious and experimental from a place of fear.
It is.
The story I make up is that I'm much more likely to land on a solution when I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. So the first part is, you got to recognize, like, right now I'm afraid. I'm afraid my daughter might be depressed. I'm afraid that my kids are spending too much time on screen. I'm scared that my kids are not spending enough time on screen because they're not connecting with their friends.
And then the underlying, I'm afraid of this illness, and I'm afraid for my country, and I'm afraid for my finances, that lives below those concerns. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're projecting that fear onto this stuff. Mm-hmm. But when really, I'm afraid that we have this guy leading our country and that he's doing a poor job. Or I'm afraid that, you know, insert your own fear. Because, I mean, you know, if you ask me, like, oh, I can give you a laundry list of things I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. But the first step is always just to own it and have the awareness that you're afraid. Most of the time, like, I don't know if you guys heard yesterday's podcast, but I got triggered because my daughter's doors were closed upstairs and I felt rejected and they weren't being open enough. And I made this huge, big story about them having their doors closed, when in fact, their doors were closed a week before that. It didn't bother me, but now they're doing the same thing and it's bothering me. So that's the work. We talk about the work. it's get curious about, wow, why am I upset right now?
Well, and doesn't it make sense, you guys? Like, you know, just play armchair therapist for a second. You're having all these fears, all these concerns, and you want to channel it into something you can control, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes we're like, I'm going to focus my energy here. Not because you're a bad parent or because you're unaware or insecure. It's not, don't like, this is not a thing about being critical. It's about understanding the psyche of a human being. If all these things feel out of control, we want to control something and we're like, my kids are on screen time too much, or this is a problem, or I'm afraid in the future they'll be depressed, or and even those things we can't control, but we would rather focus there instead. And that may not change it, but maybe at least it'll create some space between it. When you know, for Todd's example of he feels disconnected or uneasy or anxious, or that he's not using time in the correct way, he's going to go, you know what? Their doors are closed.
Yeah. And my story was, oh my God, this is like the time that I can connect with my girls during COVID because they have less distractions and they can't go see their friends and they don't have to go to school. I'm wasting this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like that's a story I made up. Millie wanted to share something. Yeah.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys.
Hi, Mel.
I was trying to look for it on my laptop here, but, and I shared this with some of you guys that are on the call right now, on Teams End, but, I attended Rachel Simmons's pandemic parenting webinar a week ago. This was one of my takeaways that I thought was a great idea. She had gotten it from a Reverend Tiffany Baker or somebody that, you know, from her Instagram page. But it's a care plan that you invite everyone in your family to create. And literally there were just post-it notes that was in this image, and I wish I could share that with you. I can maybe send it to you, Todd. Here, let me see if I can find it and read you. It, like some of them are super simple. So I'm assuming some of these are just little kids. So, all right, so this sounds like it could be a dad. David's care plan. So this is literally just written on a post-it. Paying taxes, funny, but maybe that relieves his anxiety, right? Lifting, I assume that's lifting weights. Sleep, food, video games, and that's on his care plan. Mm. On Sophia's care plan, it's practicing soccer, ride bikes, take a walk, Junie Jones book, Zoom date with a couple of friends, take showers. Some of them pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. And on Theo's care plan, it's just orange juice. That's it. As long as he gets orange juice, he's happy. And then this looks like maybe mom, drink water, walk outside, walk on treadmill. I don't mean to be sexist or anything, or, you know, but when I say that, but it just, and when I look at them, I can make some guesses. And, you know, bike ride, family, pitching. So I guess my point is I wanted to do this with my family so that they have a voice, right? Mm-hmm. And how they could feel better. And that we can literally just have these post-its around the house so that we know, oh boy, he's going off. Okay, how about we have some orange juice, you know? And then they have the ownership of coming up with their own care plan. And that when they go into these places that they're unexpected to us even, right? That we can invite them to go to their care plan and take care of themselves.
I really like that.
I like it a lot. And it's funny because unless we're careful, we have probably silently came up with our kids' care plan without asking them.
100%. The whole time that I was, Millie was talking, I created a care plan for the family and I put it everywhere around the house, but I didn't get any input. And, you know, most of it on there were mom things like take your vitamins. Like they were, the intention was like, I don't want to have to tell you guys these things every day. So do these things, but I take note, or I think you're 100% right that there should have been more, we should have put input. More emphasis on what do you girls want to do instead of just imposing. I really like
the whole doors closed thing. Like maybe part of my care plan is to take a 2-minute walk with each of my daughter. Like, you know, that doesn't mean they have to do it, but like part of my care plan, if they're willing, is can we walk around the block?
Find someone to take a walk with me.
Yeah.
Because then it's not so much like everyone's got to go. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on language. But there's one thing similar to this, not really the same, because I think yours is better, Millie, but I wanted to show you guys this.
Sweetie, I actually wrote in that for the first time.
You did?
Yeah, so Kathy's bringing over two containers and she'll explain what they are. And what's great about Kathy is she'll come up with these ideas and then she'll like tell us what it is and then she won't ask us to do it. It's like all intrinsic, like.
So they're little, they're cookie jars and I got them on Amazon. They came together as a set.
So.
And.
What I miss.
That says what I miss. And so I have a bunch of post-it notes and pens over there. So whatever you miss, you put in here. And then whatever, what you're grateful for, you put in here. And like Todd said, I set them out. I said, does everyone see these? And I did my own and I've been watching them do their own. And we haven't really done anything with them yet, but my assumption was maybe one day in the next couple of weeks for dinner or something, maybe we'd pull one out and read it and just talk about it. Maybe it doesn't have to be that way. Like we may just leave it like this.
Yeah. That may be it.
Yeah. It may just be, let's just write these things out. So we know what we miss, because like I woke up one morning and I missed my chiropractor so much and I needed a place to say that. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it on a piece of paper. I'm like, I miss my chiropractor. You know, I miss my, you know, my friend that I used to go to brunch with. I miss my, you know, and it's not about complaints. It's about remembering. And you know, this is an idea, but you know, this is what I mean about creativity and an experiment. Like you don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I really like Millie's plan though. I really like at least asking your kids what their plan is.
Well, and it's funny. Like I'm thinking of Steven right now, like mm-hmm. his daughter is struggling. Mm-hmm. The story I make up is his daughter is struggling. And I would, you know, this is just an idea, Steven, but, you know, daughter, what are some things that you need at this time? And, you know, three things, like make it simple and say, let's see what we can do to accommodate what those three things are. And it might be like for you just to not bother me. So it may come out sideways, but then all of a sudden you're collaborating with her. Like, you know, daddy's going to write three things down of what he needs and he needs to make sure he gets a good night's sleep and he works out once and he takes his vitamins or whatever it is. That's dad's offer. Can you think of three things that you want to do on a regular or on a daily basis? Because then all of a sudden we're on the same team as our kid.
Well, and again, I'm always bugging you about language, but it's just about the, like, instead of like, what's your care plan? Say, let's put a care plan together mm-hmm. for you. How can I help you with a care plan? And you don't have to write it down. We don't have to make it this thing that everybody else sees, but it's like approaching it with, I'm not trying to give you else something else to do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, how can I make sure, like the kid who's like, I need orange juice. Well, then I need to know I need to get you orange juice. That's what the care plan is about. It's not about do this act, demonstrate this so you can please me. It's what do you need so I can get it for you?
Well, and just asking that question will give, because many of us, including me, sometimes, like, I don't know, what do I need on a daily basis?
I know.
Like, just the question will start getting your wheels spinning. Like, mm-hmm. what do I want to make sure I do every day? One of mine is to make sure I go for a walk. Two is I love not setting an alarm. I'm in a position where I don't have to set an alarm right now, which is very rare. That's one of my favorite self-care things that I've been doing, which is not setting an alarm.
Yeah. And also, like, you know how I just brought up the example with the donuts? You know, we just happen to have a Krispy Kreme close by it, which makes it easy, but.
And dangerous.
And, you know, I know we've had conversations like, are we going to have donuts all the time? I don't think this is going to last forever, but what we found in the donuts is something we can give and something we can look forward to. So it's like two birds, one stone. It's like, and it gives us intention. So we're like, so we pick up donuts and they're just these minis. It's like $14 and we choose someone to go give them to. Like it's something that the girls get excited about, that I get excited about, where, you know, I know Krispy Kreme's probably doing fine as far as financially, but we're, you know, the people who are working, like it's kind of multi-purposeful and, you know, coming up with something like that, like, you know, once a week, who are we going to go see or drop something off for? And again, what works for you? Cause we're also all in different places. Like when I said before, you know, go for a drive. There's some people who live in New York City who are not driving cars. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to even get out. People in, you know, all over the globe who have different experiences of what it means to go out. So I know not all of us can do the same thing, but I would love on the Facebook page, or here, to share what are the things that have worked. Like, you know, Millie's example that she learned in Rachel's workshop, like what are some things that have been kind of effective for you mentally or, you know, the things like these cookie jars. These have been, these cookie jars were from me. And then I said, hey, if anyone else wants to use them, go ahead. And that's different than, I have these cookie jars, girls, now do this, because that's manipulating and forcing and demanding and needing.
And that's what I was trying to say, in that Kathy at dinner is like, hey, just so you know, there's two cookie jars on the table. Go ahead. And how long has this been here for?
About 8 days.
8 days. I finally wrote two things down. I don't know what I put, what I miss, but what I'm grateful for is I've been playing the piano.
He's good too.
No. I mean,
I think you are.
I'm getting better. And
Skylar's good. She's better than you.
Yes, she is. There's this really cool app on my iPhone. It's called Simply Piano, and it just walks you through in a very gentle way. So anyways, but 8 days later, I finally wrote something down last night. And that's the first time I did. And Kathy didn't say anything to me for those 8 days. So it's kind of like, you got to, because I'm baking this, like, I got this great plan, family. So just jump on board, jump on my coattails, and do what I tell you to do.
What could be more fun?
Let's take a family walk. Whereas Kathy's doing it because it's important to her. And we may or we may not. See, I'm looking in here. Has anybody else written in here other than me and you?
Skylar, and I know JC has. I don't know if Cameron has.
Really?
Skylar does a lot of them.
So that's just, it's an interesting way to check yourself. Like, what is my motivation here? Because if it's to change or fix my daughter, then,
or son,
then it's probably not coming from the best place. Doesn't mean it's a bad idea, but if you notice that nobody's written in it and you're okay with that,
because it's really just for me.
Yeah,
it's for me. I just need to write things down. The last thing that I'll say about this is, as far as like, there's Todd's playing piano, and the two things that I purchased early on, one was a writing class with Danny Shapiro that I really wanted to take. And then another one was tap dancing lessons online, because I love to tap dance and I haven't done it in years and years, since like I was 42. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done the tap dancing yet. I finally did Danny's class on Sunday, but I'm not buying those things because I think I should. I'm not buying it because I'm like, I need to be productive. I really want to tap dance. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to drive everybody crazy if I start. But that sounds like joy to me. And so when you're thinking about your days or your kids' days, instead of I should, what if I could? Like Danny Shapiro's class, I love it. Like I don't feel like it's school. I don't feel like I have to. And so people will say, well, all I do is watch Netflix all day. Well, if there were things that were options that actually brought you some joy rather than made you feel overwhelmed, you might do something else. To be clear, I'm watching a lot of Netflix. This is not one or the other. I have many, many moments on that chair over there.
Yes.
I'm imprinted over there.
A lot of shows.
A lot of shows.
Why don't you list a few of the shows you're presently in?
The Americans. We finished Little Fires. I'm going to start Killing Eve because my daughter told me I have to watch it.
Last Dance.
The Last Dance. That's awesome. The Bulls documentary is so good.
On ESPN.
I'm watching Schitt's Creek. I'm on season 4.
We just finished Little Fires Everywhere.
That was the first one I saw.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of TV. Mm-hmm.
It's great. I love it. It's not, you just said that like it's bad.
It's bad.
It's not bad. It's okay. Like, it's a time. It's an experiment. This is not going to, think about how many of your habits have shifted this quickly. So when we can go out in the world again, even though it'll be different, it'll take time, we can shift habits again. You can learn new things at 99 years old. Our brains are neuroplastic. Anything can be, you know, and again, I know ideally we want to maintain control and nothing to change, but that's not the way things work.
Sweetie, Anita says, I'm trying to let go. I'm waking up my younger daughter by a certain time, mostly because she is angry and aggressive when I go in her room. So much surrender. It's scary.
I know. It's different, Anita.
Totally hear you.
It is. And, you know, the fact that she's... the anger and aggression, it's her way of, I mean, I don't know what she's saying, but it's like sleep might be her like thing where she's like, do not message my sleep.
Yeah, there's a third rail.
Yeah.
And for some kids, being woken up can be a third rail. So maybe like you surrender to the wake up process.
And it sounds like she did, yeah.
So in closing, Millie had something I wanted to share.
I did the cosmic yoga for kids because I was sore. And Emma joined you, Emily. It's like you, when we're doing something, Emily was just saying that she did a yoga class and her daughter joined her. It's like if we, and that doesn't mean we have to all day long be demonstrating how zen and how self-aware we are. We can be normal people. But what make, instead of, it, this is kind of one of those situations where two things at once. It's always important to be interested in what your kids are interested in, but what are you interested in? And just do it, because they're going to see you do it because you're all under the same roof all the time. So it's both. There's another message.
Millie says this morning,
hi, Kim.
This morning I gave up on asking my boys to do morning exercise with Go Noodle that they have gotten tired of. I just went through the same Go Noodle channel and found some yoga videos. I did them for me, but of course the boys were there and joined me for some of it.
It's awesome, Millie.
It's a beginning. My motivation originally was to get them to exercise, but this morning my motivation was for me to get grounded.
And this is, you know, without sounding too cheesy and labeling it, that's self-aware parenting, right? Like that's, you're like, I'm going to focus on what I can do. And what's interesting is when we surrender or let go, it doesn't mean they're going to do it as hard as we do or as much as we do, but they don't feel pressured. If you know, it's so different to say, I'm going for a walk. Does someone want to go? Then we all need to go for a walk together, 2 o'clock today. That's like, especially teenagers. They're like, don't make me do things. But if you're like, want to join me? Want to come watch the Bulls documentary? Want to go get donuts and drop them off at a friend's house? That sounds fun. It's like, where's the intention coming from?
Alicia says, sorry, I got distracted. So just tune back. But I cannot for the life of me get my kid to do yoga with me.
Yeah.
And Alicia, maybe your kid's not supposed to do yoga.
Exactly. Like you keep doing it if you like it and do it for you and they may join. Or they, my girls, I was a yoga teacher when they were little. So they would do it with me, but they got a little annoyed because they had to go to family classes all the time and they were kind of like, no more. And then my oldest, she's now in high school, like I said. And last semester she took yoga and this semester she's taking yoga. So sometimes it gets brought back into their life through choice.
Yeah. Not so, according to our plan.
Right.
All right. So it's 1:02. So we will do this. I think I got to look at my schedule, but I think next Tuesday, 12 o'clock. You guys keep trucking. Love you.
Love you all.
Thank you for all your support.
And if you have any good ideas, tips, put it on the Facebook page. Share with us because yes. I want to use them.
Yes.
I need help. Support me.
Keep trucking.